to battles. We're going to war. And it's not supposed to be battles and war against each other. It's supposed to be battles and wars to put on the right character while we're in this wilderness to get close to Him. Because every time we obey His commands and resist the flesh and do what He says, it reflects Him and it gets us closer to Him. And He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. Everything in this world is perishing. Everything in this world is dying. It doesn't last long. It's full of murder. It's full of chaos. It's full of lying, cheating, stealing, pain, constant funerals, people dying, grievous funerals of loved ones that are dying. That's all this world's made up of. But it's going to come to an end. And there's going to be a millennial. There's going to be a millennial where there is no more of that. It's going to be shalom. It's going to be peace and love, kindness. It's going to be an incredible, incredible place where it's all the characteristics of Yehovah. And that's what Yeshua is trying to get us to. All those in the wilderness, as we've been learning through all the Torah portions, all those in the wilderness that wouldn't draw close to Yehovah, wouldn't obey His commands and His rules, died off in the wilderness. There was only two, Joshua and Caleb. That showed that there was really interest. You got to draw interest. Yeshua says, I'll make known things to you, but you got to draw interest to Him. It's not just a bunch of rules to be good. We got to change our character. We got to change the habits that we used to be in Egypt, in Mishreim, and working our way into the millennium. So in those fights, you'll get to Him in fights of obedience. In obedience, you get to know Him, and you'll have more shalom and peace in your life. I mean, let's face it. We can fight and fight these battles in the flesh, but in the end, the flesh, it dies and it doesn't gain anything. But if we fight to put on the characteristics of Yehovah, we'll have the shalom and we'll understand what He's about and what He's like. I told my wife, she brought something to my attention. Every morning, it's just, I got to play this. There's this song that I listen to a lot. We all listen to it. It's some Hebrew music. It's English on this one. And my wife liked it so much, she puts it as I wake up alarm clock in the morning. So instead of, you know, in the morning when you get waking up by a clock, you're looking for it to turn it off, or you really don't feel like listening to that. Well, she started playing this, and every morning when it wakes me up, I'm not doing this. The first thing I do is I say, oh, amen. Amen. So I put it on my alarm. I got to play this. This is what it starts off with every time. Let me see if I can find it. Every morning when I wake up, this is what plays. Let me start it over. Put it right here.
Creating me a clean heart.
Every few seconds, that's what you hear.
Creating me a clean heart.
When I hear that, I say, amen. Thank you, Father. Automatically lock into Yah. Instead of just hearing an alarm, this is what I hear.
Creating me a clean heart.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I automatically say, Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me. And it starts off my day. Every morning. And I thank you so much for that. That helps me out every morning to lock into Yah. Find you a song that locks in best to Yah. And you play that for your alarm clock in the morning. It wakes you up. It wakes you up to Yah. I got to do that one more time.
Halloween.
I better get on. So I'm telling you, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty incredible waking up like that in the morning. We're going to go to Devarim chapter 7. And keep in mind, fighting battles. Watch this. When Yehovah Elohim brings you into the land which you go to possess, He shall also, I'm starting over from the beginning. I know we're supposed to start in like verse 11 or something in this Torah portion, but I got to read the whole chapter again. I'm going over chapter 6, chapter 7, 8, 9. Then we're going to Joshua, going back and forth. Then going through the Torah portion, the slides. Let's read this. When Yehovah Elohim brings you into the land which you go to possess, he shall also clear away many nations before you. Now pay attention to this as you read this, and we're going to go into Joshua chapter 7. You'll see he's up against a lot of nations and a lot of battles ahead. Hittites and the Gerizzites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yehovah Elohim gives them over to you, you shall strike them and put them under the ban completely. Make no covenant with them and show them no favor, and do not intermarry with them. You do not give your daughter to his son, and you do not take his daughter for your son. For he turns your sons away from following me to serve other mighty ones. Then the displeasure of Yehovah shall burn against you and promptly destroy you. But this is what you do to them. You break down their slaughter places. You smash their pillars. You cut down their asherim and burn their carved images with fire. For you are set apart people to Yehovah, your Elohim. Yehovah, your Elohim, has chosen you to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Yehovah does not set his love on you, nor choose you because you are more numerous than any of the other people, for you are the least of all peoples. But because of Yehovah loving you, because of him guarding the oath which he swore to your fathers, Yehovah brought you out with a strong hand and ransomed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, sovereign of Mishraim. And you shall know that Yehovah your Elohim, he is Elohim, the trustworthy El, guarding covenant and loving commitment for a thousand generations with those who love him and those who guard his commands, but repaying those who hate him to their face. We'll talk about that word face tonight. Keep that in mind. To destroy them. He does not delay to do so with him who hates him. He repays him to his face. And you shall guard the command and the laws and right rulings, which I command you today to do them. And it shall be because you hear these right rulings and shall guard and do them, that Yehovah your Elohim shall guard you with the covenant and loving commitment which he swore to your fathers. And you shall shall love you and bless you and increase you, and shall bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, oil, the increase of your cattle, offspring of your flock, and the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. Blessed are you above all peoples. There's not going to be a barren man or a barren woman among you or among your livestock. And Yehovah shall turn away from you all sickness and put on you none of the evil diseases of Mishraim which you have known. But he shall put them on all those who hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples whom Yehovah your Elohim is delivering over to you. Your eyes shall not pardon them. Do not serve their mighty ones, for that is a snare to you. When you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I am able to drive them out, do not be afraid of them. Remember well what Yehovah your Elohim did to Pharaoh and to all the Mishraim, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, the strong hand, the outstretched arm which Yehovah your Elohim brought you out. Yehovah your Elohim does so to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. You know what? That brings to my remembrance. I put the TV on the other night, and there was a movie. I just spotted it. I just glanced at it. And it was called Gods and Kings. And it had Exodus. And I knew it had to be something with Hollywood, with Moshe and Pharaoh. So I clicked it on. It was in the middle of the movie. And I wasn't really interested in watching it. I just wanted to see some of the clips that they're going to put in there. And the first thing I put on there is Pharaoh. He's Ramses in the movie. And he's standing there, and Moshe's telling him what's going to happen. They're going to lose all their firstborn. And he says, I am God. It's exactly how he says in the movie. I am God. And that's how he portrays himself in here when we read about it. He portrayed himself as being God. And so when you read those things, that's the things that they was up against. And then it shows them fleeing, getting to the sea, the Red Sea, and that's all they have in front of them. And Yah blows a strong east wind and blows it to dry land. They cross the land. It shows the sea just annihilate them. I mean, just annihilate them. It's stuff that it's impossible for them that they could have ever done on their own. But because of Yah's love for them, that's what he did. And Yehovah Elohim also sends the hornet among them unto those who are left, who hide themselves from among you, are destroyed. Do not be afraid of them, for Yehovah Elohim, the great and awesome El, is in your midst. And Yehovah Elohim shall drive out those nations before you, little by little. You are not allowed to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But Yehovah Elohim shall deliver them over to you and destroy them with a great destruction until they are consumed. And he shall give their sovereigns into your hand, and you shall destroy their name from under the heavens. No one is going to be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. The carved images of the mighty ones, you are to burn with fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to Yehovah Elohim. And do not bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a curse like it. Utterly loathe it, utterly hate it, for it is a curse. Now remember, he's the Elohim of the living. There's two sides. There's no middle in between. If you do this, Akev, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, Akev, that's what's going to happen to you. I'm the God of the living. I'm not the God of the dead. He's always been a living. He's never died and never will die. And that's what we're headed for. In this millennial right here in this world, people are all dying. There's only one man that made it out of here alive, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us that we make it out too. And the enemy he said about Kepha, he's coming to sift you like wheat. And like I said, we're Israelites. We're going to be under battle. We're going to be tested in everything that we know. We get to know him, and now he expects us to be like that, what we say and what we proclaim. We make vows. That's what we're supposed to be, and that's what we're supposed to do. Now, in this Devarim chapter 7, he tells you in detail, great detail. Now, let's skip on over to, how ironic is that, chapter 7 in Joshua. When Devarim chapter 7, now we'll go to Joshua chapter 7. And here's the children of Israel. This is some way, way time ahead now. When Joshua was leading, Yehoshua was leading, and they're all getting ready to go into battle. And when they go into battle, they're going to tell you that they even pulled back the numbers because it was such a small, Ai was so small that we can annihilate them. There's no problem. We're going to go annihilate them. They didn't even want to pick up big numbers because they knew Elohim, their God, what he was going to do for them. And it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding that which is under the ban. We just got to finish reading in Devarim chapter 7 about being under the ban. Keep that in mind. For Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Yehuda, took of that which is under the ban. And the displeasure of Yehovah burned against the children of Israel. Now, as we read this, we learn it just didn't happen to one little household. It happens to the whole tribe, everybody, all of Israel, when somebody does something they're not supposed to be doing. It says, now, Yehoshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethel and on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Yehoshua and said to him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men. See, just let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and strike Ai. Do not make all the people tall up there, for the people of Ai are few. That's his confidence in his El. And he says, and about 3,000 men went up from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck about 36 men. Now, I've read this about 3 or 4 times, maybe more than that. And you know, as you read it, there's certain parts you don't pick up on. But later on, I'm like, man, because they did this, you caused 36 men to die. When you do something you're not supposed to be doing, you cause others to be hurt. You cause other people to die. So it's not just something that you're rebelling against. that causes you harm. You cause other people harm when you do things. That's why you got to be so careful what you do. Everybody's involved that you in whatever you're involved in. Everybody's with you when you do certain things. And it says, for they pursued them from before the gate as far as Shevarim and smote them on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Man, who was confident? What just happened? And Yehoshua tore his garments and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of Jehovah until evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Yehoshua said, O Master Jehovah, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay beyond the Jordan. Now we're backing up. We used to use that term crawfishing, because a crawfish goes in reverse, you know, and he's trying to get out the way. It's kind of, what's happening here? It's confusing. Backing up, now we're saying words that really shouldn't be saying. Because it kind of looks like it's God did something. But he didn't do anything wrong. And Jehovah, what do I say when Israel turns his back before its enemies and the Canaanites and all inhabitants of the land hear and shall surround us and cut off? Not if this happened to this with this, we got armies ahead of us that's going to annihilate us. You said we was going to destroy the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, all these other, all the way going. And now we're in a bind. We done lost 36 men. We're in trouble with this little bunch of Ai. And Jehovah said to Yehoshua, rise up. Why are you lying on your face? Well, you look up that word face in a little while. It's Yada. The face, Yada. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and have even taken some of that which is under the ban, and have both stolen and deceived, and also put it among their own goods. And the sons of Israel shall not be able to stand before their enemies. They're going to turn their backs before their enemies before they have become accursed. Remember, Akev, because. Remember, because. It's an action word. Because you do this or that. I am not with you anymore. That's not a good thing to hear. I am not with you anymore. The one that Joshua and Caleb's all confident in and they've been training up by and they've been looking up to all this time. Yada, they're getting to know him. What was Moshe on the mountain doing? Face to face, yada, they were getting to know him, getting close to him. What do we come here tonight for? We want to get close to him. We want to get to know him. We'll come on Fridays. No, it's not commanded. But Yeshua said, I'll make known to you because you're interested in me. You're interested in my Father. You get interested. My wife and I, when we first got together, I think I could honestly say, I had an imprint of my phone on my ear everywhere as I went during the day. I stayed on that. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. All we had was one with the cord on it. I fall asleep with it on my ear like that at night. I wake up, hey, you still there? Hey, you still there? We stay on the phone all night. We go places. We do things together. We did everything together because I was wanting to, I was knowing her. That's what we do. It wasn't like, okay, I got interest in Linda, so I'm just going to call her on Wednesday. And then I'm going to be with my friends. I might call her 2 weeks from now. I think I'm going to call Linda. I don't think she's going to be interested in me anymore. What you mean? I had several other guys I could talk to. You ain't talking to me in 2-3 weeks or 4 weeks. You see what I'm talking about? Interest. Yada. To be known or to know. To get to know. Be known. Yada. It says, rise up, set the people apart, and you shall say, set yourselves apart for tomorrow, because thus says Jehovah, Elohim of Israel, that which is under the ban is in your midst, O Israel. And remember what Israel means. One who prevails and overcomes with his El, with the living Elohim. Not the God of this world. The God of this world wants us dead. That's what the God of this world wants. The God of this world wants to drain the life out of you. With deception and lies. That's what he does in this world. Paints the picture. That's why we got to, when we rise up in the morning, when we lie down at night, every chance you get all the time. Why? Because you're up against it. You're in an evil, wicked world out there. It surrounds you. Your eye gates, your ear gates, you listen to things, you see things. You got to stay close all the time. All the time. Because you come up against those battles every day. You're an Israelite. And Yehovah goes before you whenever you're with him and doing what he says, obeying his commands. You'll be just like him. You'll be light. You'll be a light bearer. You give life to people. That which is under the ban is your miss, O Yisrael. You are not able to stand before your enemies until you put away that which is under the ban out of your midst. You shall be brought near in the morning according to your tribes. And this shall be the tribe which Yehovah takes. Now, Yehovah is ordering this. Yehovah is ordering to bring all the tribes. I'm going to point out which tribe it is, what person it is in the middle of what tribe. He says, according to their clans. And the clan which Yehovah takes comes by households. And he's going to weed it down from all the tribes to a tribe, from a tribe, the clans down to the household which Yehovah takes comes by men. And it shall be that he who is taken, that which is under the ban, is burned with fire. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of Yehovah, and because he has committed wickedness in Yisrael. So Yehoshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and by the tribe of Yehuda was taken. The tribe of Yehuda was taken. And he brought his household by men. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, and the tribe of Yehuda was taken. And Yehoshua said to Achan, my son, now give esteem to Yehovah Elohim of Israel. And make confession to him. And please declare to me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Remember the scripture that says, everything that is hidden shall be revealed. So Achan answered Yehoshua and said, truly, and he fessed up. He said, I have sinned against Yehovah, Elohim of Israel, and this is what I did. And remember, we just got finished reading Devarim chapter 7. What happens under the ban? Don't covet the silver. Don't covet the gold, all the monies. Remember, Brother Rob brought this up, and I had forgotten one of the Torah portions, the middle Torah portion. You know, you keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't look to the left or don't look to the right. We had on the left, we had Korah. Korah came up with a root of bitterness and ended up having rebellion because of a root of bitterness, and the earth swallowed him up. Look to the right, then we had the Moabites, we had Balak. We had the Torah portion Balak, where they had the Moabite women. They come and pulled them off. They got their eyes focused on the world and focused on the money and all the things on that end and swallowed them up. But then you had in the middle. What you had in the middle? Now I got to remember it again. It was Hukat. That's how I said, huh? That's how you say it? Hukah. Yeah, hukah. So hukah is the laws. And the mishpatim is the right rulings. Kukah, and I want to say that T on the end because I can see it in my head. They got a kukat. They got a T on the end. And so keep your eyes straight down in the middle. Keep them on the laws and the instructions and the right rulings of Yehovah. Keep it straight down on the path of the narrow. Don't look to the left. A root of bitterness will come up. Don't look to the right. The things of this world, the things that will pull you away. Stay straight down on the middle. And the silver and the gold was on that end over there. Don't go that way. And see, they are hidden. It says, when I saw among the spoil, Achan answered Yehoshua and said, I have sinned against Yehovah. This is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a lovely garment from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. So while everybody's on Shabbat, while everybody's gathered up like they did, Moshe trained them up and taught them with Yehoshua, everything they're supposed to be staying in, all the rules and regulations, he's over here, him, I don't know if it was family and all, but he fessed up to it and said, hey, I coveted something. He wasn't paying attention. He was coveting the spoil. See why it's so important we're out in the world? We've got to stay rooted and grounded. We're minnow. We've got to stay locked in him. It says, I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the ground in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. And Yehoshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent And see, it was hidden in his tent, the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Yehoshua, to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before Jehovah. Then Yehoshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, took the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Kor. And Yehoshua said, "Why have you troubled us? You caused some men to die. Think about the men that died. And think about the many more if we continue to go forward." And Yehoshua said, "Why have you troubled us? Jehovah does trouble you today." Remember, there's a cause and effect. Akev, because you have done this. He hid it all this time. All this time he hid it. And Yehoshua said, "Why have you troubled us? And Jehovah does trouble you today." Then all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones, because it's all tainted. What was you supposed to do when you brought in the spoil? You're supposed to melt it and get all the stuff out of it that's all in it. It has to all be burned. It has to all be melted. All the stuff, the impurities that's in it. Remember, it's supposed to be clean. You can't have no unclean stuff. That's why I said, this food is clean for you. This food is unclean for you. This day is a Shabbat. He's got all these right rules. This is clean and this is unclean. And he laid it all out. This is to be put under the ban. And so everything had to be burned. Everything had to be destroyed. Life for life had to go. Then all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones, which remains to this day. Then Jehovah turned from the fierceness of his displeasure. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. If I'm not mistaken, it was a troublesome valley. Trouble in the valley. Achor meant trouble. I didn't write it down, but I remember looking that up too. But that was the cause and effect of that. We don't have time to get into chapter 8. But in chapter 8, they brought everything on, son. And they wiped them out. They annihilated them. And then they took the king and hung him up. And that's a story in itself to go and read. I would have loved to read all of chapter 8. Then he goes against a lot of kings. He goes in chapter 9, going through chapter 10. Go read all that. He come across all of them, and he wiped out every one of them. Until there was a time where all the kings ran, all five kings ran, they all went and hid in a cave. And they got to the cave, they opened up the cave, and they took all of them and laid them out. He said, "Now, y'all, all the leaders, put your foot on their neck and remember this day. You remember this day." And he had them put to the ban, took out. So there's no in-betweens. There's two sides here. If you side up, you're going to be on the side of destruction. If we side up on the other side, we're going to live forever with our Elohim. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. All Achan ended up doing was hiding something for his own destruction. The goods that you think is good and the enemy lies to you ends up putting you under the ban. That's all it did. And we talked about Eve when she was deceived by the serpent. There was something that happened because of that, Zekev. Because. And the man, because you listened to the woman, you shall eat, work and toil from the sweat of your brow, and return to the dust of the earth. Every one of us dies now because of that. Because of that action. Devarim chapter 6. If you go and read those stories in Joshua, right after the battles, he got them all together. He even wrote it on stone. He wrote about the blessings and the curses. This is the blessings and this is the curses. And read them all out to the people. And remember, they were all assembled. There was nobody by themselves. They was assembled. Devarim chapter 6. And this is the command, the laws, the chukah and right rulings, the mishpatim, which Yehovah your Elohim has commanded to teach you to do in the land which you're passing over to possess, so that you fear Yehovah your Elohim to guard all his laws and his commands, which I command you and your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days be prolonged. And you shall heal Yisrael and shall guard to do that it might be well with you, and that you increase greatly as Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, has spoken to you, in a land flowing milk and honey. Hear, O Yisrael, Yehovah, Elohim, Yehovah is one, and he's the only living Elohim. And you shall love Yehovah, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your being, with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart, and you shall impress them upon your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontless between your eyes. Brother Rob talked about that, as frontless. Be careful what you entertain your eyes with for long periods of time. Pastor talked about it on Shabbat. We can spend a lot of time on our phone flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping. We can be flipping and flipping and flipping, going to Esau and looking and seeing all the things of Yehovah and getting that in our spirit. And learn the characters of Yah. And when we're up against a battle, we'll know what to do. And we'll be in shalom about it rather than being in fear because of disobeying his commands. We won't break his commands and right wounds if we're familiar with them. We're keeping them on a daily basis. It shall be as frontless between your eyes. What you behold is what you become. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Yeshua beheld him so much, being the living Torah, the living Constitution, when he was up against those who wasn't studying, wasn't learning, some other thing of men, he was coming with the right, and they was getting mad at him because it was reflecting on them what they needed to correct. The correction comes to you. It wasn't his fault, and it wasn't him that they was mad at. It's Yehovah that they mad at. Because he's trying to correct them and get them in right standings. He's trying to correct all of us. It's not the pastors. It's not the teachers. It's not your neighbor that you'd be mad at. It's Yehovah if you're mad at anybody, because it shows how much study and how much fruit you're bearing. It shall be when Yehovah Elohim brings you into the land of which he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But remember, this wasn't because of anybody's righteousness. It was because a man named Abraham, he was in that world, just like we're in the world, and Yehovah called him out, and because he listened and let all that stuff go and obeyed him, it was considered to him as righteousness. He gave him a promise to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, because they chose to spend the time with Yehovah. They was in a tent spending time with Yehovah because they love Yehovah. And he said, you people, not your righteousness, you're a stiff-necked people, you don't listen. But because of my promise to Abraham, you're here. So now we'll get another chance. We'll get another opportunity to live under the living Elohim through his son Yehoshua HaMashiach. And it says to Yaakov, to give you great and good cities which you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of goods which you did not fill, and wells dug which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And you shall eat and be satisfied. Be on guard lest you forget Yehovah who brought you out of the land of Mishreim, from the house of bondage. When things get easy and you start getting money and you start having good things coming about, it doesn't take long for your flesh to say, I could relax today. And I could be honest with you, I've had it happen many times in the past couple of years. I've had days where, you know what, it's not my week this week, I could relax. And you want to tell you the worstest times I ever had is when I did that, when I relaxed a little bit and say, I'm good this week. It's somebody else's turn, you know, I could relax a little bit. You know, that's when you start making mistakes and hiccups. You got to stay on top of it all the time. You got to stay close all the time. He says, Menno, stay close. Menno, stay with me, close. It says, be on guard lest you forget Yehovah who brought you out of the land of Mishreim, from the house of bondage. Fear Yehovah your Elohim and serve him and swear by his name. Do not go after other mighty ones, the mighty ones of the peoples who are all around you. For Yehovah your Elohim is a jealous El in your midst, lest the displeasure of Yehovah your Elohim burn against you, Because remember, when you start pulling back, guess what side you start going towards? You start going back towards Mishreim. You start going back to lies and deception and all the things that may be appeasing. It's appeasing to the flesh. It's appeasing to the flesh. But we no longer walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit continually. We got to continually listen to the set-apart Spirit. My wife has been, she's got this app on her phone that's been helping her play the music. And on it, it's got a little help on it. What is it called? It's a little guide. And as she's singing on the chorus, it says 1, 2, 3. And then it says intro. I'm like, listen to that. That's a set-apart Spirit. Wake up in the morning, creating me a clean heart. That's a set-apart Spirit. That's step one. Step two, get on your knees. Father, just thank you so much for this day. I'm praying for my pastors. I'm praying for Josh. I'm praying for Scott and Becky. Just thank you for all Ephraim, Manasseh, and Yehuda. Step three, get up. Open up your scriptures. It's a set-apart Spirit. This is what the flesh wants to do. Turn thing off again. 5 more minutes, 20 more minutes. Another hour. And you get up. I can read later. I'll be all right. I got enough Shabbat. And then before you know it, somebody runs you across your family. I can't believe they just cut in front of me. The flesh is in charge. It wants all your time. That's exactly what the flesh does. It wants all your time. So we stay studied up, worded up, listen to the set-apart Spirit. Something like that happens. Father, I'm just so thankful you give me today. I got another opportunity to be with you and draw close to you. Thank you so much, Father. You're so good to me. He says, in your midst, lest the displeasure of your Elohim burn against you, then he shall destroy you from the face of the earth. Do not try Yehovah your Elohim as you tried him in Massah. Diligently guard the commands of Yehovah your Elohim and his witnesses and his laws, which he has commanded you. The Devarim, I've been liking reading Devarim over and over again. Now I'm understanding what Yeshua was reading over and over again, getting familiar with over and over again. This is what's going to help you understand and discern what right from wrong and all the twisted scriptures that are out there. You shall do what is right and good in the eyes of Yehovah, that it might be well with you, and you shall go in and possess the land of which Yehovah swore to your forefathers to drive out all your enemies from before you, as Yehovah has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the witnesses and the laws and the right rulings which Yehovah Elohim has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Mishreim. Hey, Joseph. Joseph was a slave. He was a prisoner. And then he got raised up to be second in command. What do you think is going to happen to us when we listen and be discipled? When we get discipled by Yehoshua, and then his set-apart Spirit, then our pastors and our teachers, and you're drawing close and listening, what's going to happen to us? The same exact thing. You get drawn out the world. He called us. Not we ourselves. He called us. He called us because he knows that we can. We can win every one of them if we do what he says. He's confident in us. He really is. And so he calls us and we come in and now we've got to be grafted in Israelites, be obedient, do what he says, and we'll win those battles. Every time we don't do what he says, it's like falling down the ladder. You got to get back up. You got to try again. You hit it wrong again, all the way back down the ladder. You ever played those video games when you was a kid? You used to play that Mike Tyson one. And we started with one. You start learning controls, and that Mike Tyson used to beat us up. We stayed up for hours. You hear me? Hours to get past the second one. That one guy with that genie-looking hat, he'd come in there like a tornado like that. You learn the left, the right, the left, the right, and then you wipe him out. It took time and effort all the way to get to Mike Tyson. Then Mike Tyson had every one of them, even the big fat, juggly guy. When you hit him on the X, I'm telling you, you had to learn all this to win against Mike Tyson. How do you think you're going to win against Hasatan? He knows it better than you and I. And there's only one who whipped him, and that was Yeshua HaMashiach. And if we don't do what he says, we're kidding ourselves. We're not going to make it. He said, this is what you got to do to come into my kingdom. In my kingdom, I'm going to rule and reign with a hukah, with these laws and these mishpatim, these right rulings. If you don't, you're not allowed in. You'll be destroyed with the rest of them because you're tainted with the stench and smell of death. We got to repent on a daily basis. Rather, we pay attention to thinking that we did anything wrong or not today or any day, because we want to have a sweet smell and fragrance unto Yehovah. We'll repent and teshuva and turn back to Him. So that will be a sweet smell and fragrance. If not, we got the stench of death. We don't want that on us. And Yehovah commanded us to do all these laws, to fear Yehovah Elohim for our good always, to keep us alive as it is this day. And I know this was written a long time ago, but that brought like a power surge in me. We're alive today to tell of what's happened. We're alive today. And He's kept us alive to today. He's removing the wagging tongues. Everything He said He was going to do, He's doing. Hang in there. You're doing a good job. So what? You messed up. Get back up and go up the ladder again. You're alive. You're breathing. You're here today. And Yehovah wouldn't allow the Son to call us if He didn't believe we couldn't do it. We can. You can do all things through Yeshua HaMashiach, who strengthens you. And it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yehovah Elohim as He has commanded us. So we're going to cross over. Rather, we go to sleep, and I'm not saying that would happen. Rather, somebody goes to sleep and dies in their sleep. People die in their sleep. People wake up in the morning, go out on a fishing trip, have a heart attack, and die. You can't say, I'm going to be promised to do this or that the next week or the next month, the next couple of days. Nobody knows. But life doesn't go on after that, after you're dead. The dead know nothing. It's it. You have no more chances to redeem or fix anything. That's it. That's the end. It's over. So we can think in our mind that we're going to be going on vacation next year. We're going to be doing this and that. That's if Elohim allows us to, if it be thy will, O Father, if it be thy will. We got to let Him be in charge of our lives, and we got to take advantage of the time that we have. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. So there's one of two things that's going to happen. Those who weren't listening, those who were disobeying, when they open their eyes, fear is going to grip them. It talks about fear. Fear is going to grip them. But those, shalom is going to grip them, because they're confident in knowing they've been obedient to the commands of Yehovah and doing what He said. Spending time with the Torah and spending time with Yehoshua. The Torah is our mother, and Yehoshua is a living word in the flesh, helping us to live the lives we're supposed to live unto Yehovah. I'm going to go to slide 11. This week's Torah portion is called Akev, Strong's 86118, which is translated here as because. And the root meaning of this word means a consequence, as a consequence of because, and can also be rendered or understood as a reward. So in the book of Joshua chapter 7, you see the consequence that happened to Israel and to Achan and his family because of doing what he did. And then if you go read chapter 8, 9, and 10, you'll see what happened because of being obedient. There's a reward. What this Torah portion is, in effect, starting with, is the consequences or reward for hearing and doing the commands of Yehovah. In slide number 4, this is the reward. This is the reward for doing what is right. The blessing and life eternal is a natural cause and effect when living in harmony with the Torah, spending the time with Yehovah. And that's what Moshe did. That's what Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. We have all these great witnesses, and we might be able to get into that in Hebrews chapter 12, about all the witnesses that we have to reflect on what they did and how they did it. John chapter 14, 6 through 21. Yeshua said to him, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had, you see that word known? If you had known, we got to get to know. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Yeshua said to him, Have I not been with you so long, and have you not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, and how do you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who stays in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I shall do, in order that the Father might be esteemed in the Son. If you ask whatever in my name, I shall do it. If you love me, you shall guard my commands. And I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper to stay with you forever. You hear it all? You see it all? We just got finished talking about the Spirit of truth, whom the world is unable to receive because it does not see him or know him. Yada. He does not know, they do not know him. But you, Yada, know him, for he stays with you and shall be in you. I shall not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. Yet a little while. He said, I'm coming to you. There's going to be a day I'm coming to you. He's coming. I'm coming to you. Yet a little while, and the world no longer sees me, but you shall see me because I live, and you shall live. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in ye, in you. He who possesses my commands and guards them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and manifest myself to him. There's got to be an interest and a draw to know him. That's the only way. I was a little drawn to that word when he said to Philip, he says, all this time and you don't know. Can you imagine how many people has come in and out of these church services? How many would spend the time and not get to know? Time after time after time, and he would say, and you still don't know? How much time and time and time could have been spent getting to know and never got to know? And he would say, all that time, and you still don't know me? All the messages, all the times that could have been spent, all the times that you spent on other things when you were out there during the day, you only spent a little bitty time, and you don't know me? John 15, 14 through 19. We just went over these, but I got to go over them again. He says, in John 15, 14 through 19, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all teachings that I heard from my Father are made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you go and bear fruit. Boy, that's one scripture that stays in mind. When I make a mistake during the day, I say, Father, please forgive me. I don't want to be a branch that's broken off and dried out and thrown into the trash to be burned. I want to produce good fruit. I'm sorry for the words I said. I'm sorry for those things I did. Please forgive me. I want to bear good fruit. I can't do anything without you. That's what I tell them. I say, I can't go on without you. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing. I'm lost without you. And that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he might give you. These words I command you, so that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are the world will love its own. But because, you see that word because? But because, it kept, because you are not of the world, But I chose you out of the world for that reason. The world hates you. The more closely you get to Him and the more you start putting on righteous right rulings, the more the world hates you because it reflects on what they're supposed to do. It reflects. It's not you that they hate. It's the righteous right rulings that they hate. They don't like the rules. They don't want no rules in this world. They live after the flesh. The flesh doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't know what it's doing. It just wants to eat up anything and everything and greed it all up to self, 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 to self-destructs. And Yehovah pulled us out of that. He pulled Abraham out of that. We're supposed to be like Abraham. Let go of all the bad habits. Let go of all those things that pull us away from Him. Because they won't live in His presence. No flesh can glory in His presence. We got to let go of those things. There's two sides, remember. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. Everything in this world is dying. But in the millennial, everything is going to live eternally under His righteous rules, His righteous right rulings, His chukat and His mishpatim. I have called you friends. I inform you because of your interest and obedience to all these teachings, which I heard from my Father, I make known to you. You got to have an interest. You got to draw an interest. It's not just a bunch of stuff to learn and hold in your hand. The Torah can't save you by itself. You have to do something. Kev, you got a choice to make. You're going to have to make a right choice. And it's right there up to you. Like Pastor said for the Midrash, you got to put your hands out. You got to draw interest and grab onto that. Just like all other things in the world, you drew interest and grab onto so quickly in the flesh. It's the same thing, but it's on the opposite end. And as you keep going with it, little bit more, it'll start locking in and you'll fall in love with it because it's right and it works and it brings shalom, it brings peace. It's discipline. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 12. This is the stuff that we can't take with us. It's not allowed. You can't take it with you. You have to learn to get rid of it in the wilderness. Remember, we're still in the wilderness. This is the wilderness. And as we learn and live, we Sukkot with Him. He covers us like Sukkot. He covers us. We gather Him on Shabbat and we learn all week long. And then as it gets closer and closer to that millennial, we'll be shielded and protected as the chaos and the crazy things that happens to this world and burns it all up. It's not coming with a flood. It's coming with a fire. And we read over and over and over that things had to be burned. Things had to be burned up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was protected in the fire. The fire that it should have consumed them, but it didn't because of them being on right stands with Yehovah. But it consumed the guards at a distance. It was so hot. Having put aside then all evil, deceit, hypocrisies, envyings, evil words as newborn babies, desire the unadulterated milk of the word that's going to wash us from all these things. We keep reading and learning in the word, it washes us from all these things. If you don't read it, if you don't study it, if you don't do it on a daily basis, you're still going to give in to doing those things all the time. They're always waiting for you. The flesh against the spirit, always at war with one another. The one you feed the most is the one who's going to be in charge. In order that you grow by it, if indeed you have tasted that the Master is good, drawing near to Him a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Elohim and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a set-apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual slaughter offerings acceptable to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah, because it is contained in the scripture. See, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen, precious, and he who believes on Him shall by no means be put to shame. This preciousness then is for you. It's for you. He gave this for you and me, for us. That's why we're alive today, for you who believe. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling, who stumble because they're disobedient to the word, to which they are also appointed. I'm telling you, Pharaoh, he was raged so mad, He did everything he could to try and stop him. He went to all his people were destroyed, and he's the last one standing. And he still thinks somehow he can beat this God to get what he wants in the flesh. It's all a representation of flesh. You can get mad. You can stomp your foot. You can hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. You're not going to beat Jehovah. You're not going to beat Elohim. He's going to get everything accomplished. You can decide whatever you want. You can hide it. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. It's going to get exposed, and it's going to destroy you if you don't do something with it. You can't take it in with him. It says you got to dispose of these. You got to dispossess to possess. You have to dispossess to possess. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his light, who once were not a people, but now the people of Elohim, the living Elohim. Remember, you lived in the world of the God of the dead. You're the God of the you live under the God of the living, who had not obtained compassion, but now you have obtained compassion. But loved ones, I appeal to you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from the fleshly lusts which battle. You are a Israelite that's going to come upon those battles, but you win in the spirit. You're going to keep getting knocked out in the flesh. The flesh does you no good. It profits you nothing. Having your behavior among the nations good, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, and that's what they're going to do, because the righteousness of Elohim is on you, they're going to speak bad about you, because it's supposed to be about themselves, reflecting themselves. It's always everybody else's fault, because they're the ones that need to be corrected and fixed. Having your behavior among the nations good, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, let them, by observing your good works, esteem Elohim in the day of visitation. There's times that we listen to the set-apart spirit and a battle's going on. There's a time he just tells you, don't say nothing, be quiet. Be silent. There's a time being silent. Then there's times that says, be bold. Speak what I speak and say to them, don't compromise. Say what I'm saying. Only say what I say. That's what Yeshua said. I only say what my Father says. I only speak his word when he tells me to speak. I was talking to Scott today. I said, boy, I said, we learn a lot, living a lot. I said, but Pastor, so far, I said, I think about Pastor being one of those who could run for 3 miles. I can't run 3 miles yet. And Scott said, I got to walk first. I can't even run yet. He said, I ain't even sprinting yet. I'm walking. I said, this is impossible. If you can't come on Wednesdays and Fridays and maybe make a Shabbat or two and expect to do what he does, you're kidding yourself. You're going to get yourself whacked. You're going to get on a track. You're all pumped up. And you're going to start running. You're going to be flat on your face where everybody makes the first round. You got to practice and train up. It takes time and effort. Ain't nobody jumps in the ring like Pastor said and starts a fight. You're going to get your butt whooped. You're going to get it whooped. So it takes time and effort and learning and training. He says little by little. He said not to wipe them all out, lest the beasts of the field multiply. He said little by little. He's got a way to do things. And it was pretty cool how instead of just going against Ai again, we're just bringing a few. Jehovah said bring them all. Bring all 30,000, however many it was. Bring them all. And so they brought them all. And some of them was in the bushes hiding, and the other ones came on the forefront. And here comes Ai. And so they start running like they're whipping up on them again. They're trying to get away, acting like they're running, like, oh, you got me. You got me. You know, the little kids, and you're trying to let them catch it. You got me. Oh, you got me. Then they come in from behind. Everybody's out of the city. They burn the whole city. When they turn around, their countenance, everything fell. All their blood went to their toes. We in trouble. And they got wiped out. Boom. See, Jehovah is the leader of this thing. If we listen to him, you'll win every battle. You got to listen to what he says. It's not what you think. Hey, things might not happen with somebody tomorrow that you're praying for. It might not be for months. It might not. The Father told me that today. He says, Chad, you know, it might be years. You just got to be patient. You might expect the miracle tomorrow or next month or next week. You just got to be patient. I'm the one in charge here, not you. Can't go on your own thinking. 1 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 25. Thinking about in a sin when you're in the flesh. For what credit is there in enduring a beating when you sin? Because no doubt, when you sin, you're getting beat up on. You get beat up on, it has a bad ending all the time. It never has a good ending. It's very deceptive. It seems appeasing. But I remember a scripture in Proverbs that says, you eat it and it's going to taste good like candy. But in the end, it's like gravel in your mouth. It's no more good. It always brings a bad ending, a bad result. Whoredom brings a bad result. It's very ugly. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure, this finds favor with Elohim. Either way, you're going to be fighting and battling on either end. If it's in the flesh, you get nothing. The flesh profits nothing. On the other end, you get the character of Yehovah. You start living and being just like Him, and you get shalom and peace, and you have an eternal life, or an eternal family that's in shalom. That's the reward you get for disciplining yourself and drawing close to Him. Draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. This finds favor with Elohim. For to this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who being reveled, did not revel in return, suffering, did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His body. Remember, we are the ones that deserve what He took. We shouldn't be alive today. After I read what happened to Achan, after what he did with him and his family for hiding something, the stuff that I've done in my life, I should be dead today. I shouldn't be alive today. I should have been stoned a long time ago for the wrong that I did. And they just hid stuff, much less whoredom and things that we've done. We shouldn't be alive today. But He took that for us. So have a brand new start, to be washed and cleansed in His blood, and start to get a brand new start from His blood and read His word and apply it to our lives so that I could be washed and put on the characteristics just like He did of Yehovah, who Himself bore our sins in His body on the timber, so that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of our beings. He makes intercession for us every day. And like I said in Midrash, I had something that happened to me last week. Right after Shabbat, there was something that happened to me where it wasn't my fault. And I took the heat for it from somebody. And it felt really terrible. It was really horrible to take on something that I didn't do. It was for somebody else. But I took it. And I said, okay, I understand. And I took it. But right at that moment, I sat down and I was teared up. I'm like, man, this really hurts. And I'm like, man, Yeshua goes to the Father before us, and we do that wrong. He's got to take the heat for us. How many times He's taken the heat for me because I did some wrong? How many times? And still maybe today, because one of us did something we weren't supposed to do, He had to take the heat for it. Because remember, there's one who stood before the Father. It was Moshe. Now we got Yeshua that stands before us in our behalf, stands between the people, between us and Yehovah from destroying us. And we're on a time clock, His time clock. And there's a certain time. There's a certain time that He puts up with stuff. He's patient. He's loving. He's kind. And He's the judge of everything. I'm not. We're not. He's the judge of everything. He says when it ends, He says when it's going to be forgiven and if it's not forgiven. He's in charge. Devarim chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Speaking of Moshe, Devarim 5, 1 through 4. And Moshe called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the laws and right rulings which I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them, and you shall guard to do them. Yehovah Elohim made a covenant with us in Horeb, on the mountain. Yehovah did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. Yehovah spoke with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire." That word face is yada, to know or to be known. And we learn the word kai is living. The living Elohim, kai. Yehovah is the living El. Devarim chapter 5, verse 26, just one verse, says, "For who is there of all the flesh who has heard the voice of the kai, the living Elohim, speaking from the midst of the fire as we have, and does live?" Now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. This is the witnesses. And you should always remember Hebrews chapter 12. It always starts out, don't we have such a cloud of witnesses? Don't we have Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov? Don't we have Joshua? All that he did? All those witnesses? Hebrews chapter 12. "We too then, having so great a cloud of witnesses all around us, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking at the prince and the perfecter of our belief, Yeshua, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, having despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him who endured such opposition from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your lives. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the appeal which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yehovah, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom Yehovah loves, he disciplines, and he flogs every son whom he receives. If you endure discipline, Elohim's treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Moreover, we indeed had fathers of our flesh disciplining us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" Remember, we have fathers, forefathers, even Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They're all dead today, but they're all witnesses for us. Elohim, he's the Elohim of the living, and he's disciplining us. He's the Elohim of the living, and he's the Father of the living, and he disciplines those he loves. He's given all of this to us because he loves us. And he asks us that question, shall we not much rather be subject to the Father spirits and live? And that word, yada, face, is Strong's H3045. That's in the lexicon, Strong's H3045, yada. It says to know and to be acquainted with, to know or to be known. Another powerful example of a witness how to know Yehovah is through his son and the witness of Moshe. In John chapter 5, verses 31 through 47, it says it many times in here about a witness. It says, John chapter 5, 31 through 47, he says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he bore witness to the truth. But I do not receive witness from man, but I say this in order that you might be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and for a while you wished to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works that the Father gave me to accomplish, the works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you do not have his word staying in you because you do not believe him who he sent. You search the scriptures because you think you possess everlasting life in them. And these are the ones that bear witness of me. But you do not desire to come to me in order to possess life. I do not receive esteem from men. But I know you, as that yada word, I know you, that you do not have the love of Elohim in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you receive. How are you able to believe when you're receiving esteem from one another, and the esteem that is from the only Elohim you do not seek? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moshe, in whom you have set your expectation. For if you believe Moshe, you would have believed me, since he wrote about me. But you do not believe his writings. How should you believe my words? You were spending that time with him and learning everything about him. You know who I am today and what I'm speaking. But because you don't, you listen to the words of men, all their teachings, and you don't listen to the true words of Elohim. You don't even understand my words or what I'm saying, who I am today. Devarim is Moshe. Remember telling us what he experienced, what Yah expects. It's his chukah, his laws, and his mishpatim, and his right rulings. Abraham was a witness. In Devarim chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, just two verses there, it says, it's not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wrong of these nations that Yehovah Elohim drives them out from before you in order to establish the word which Yehovah swore to your fathers, to Abraham. Remember, he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And you shall know that Yehovah Elohim is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. And I'm just reading it because that's where I got it from. I got it from the Torah and Devarim. Matthew chapter 22, 31 and 32. And concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by Elohim, saying, I am the Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov. Elohim is not the Elohim of the dead, but of the living. That's where I got that scripture from I talked about earlier. He's the God of the living. He's the Elohim of the living. In Bereshit chapter 3, going along with our Torah portion, Echev, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, do not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you are to eat of it all the days of your life. And the ground shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you are to eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That was an Ekev. That was because they broke his command. Ekev, because, a cause and effect. But now, that was the first Adam. That's what happened with the first Adam. What happened to all of us? There was a cause and effect. We all have sin and we die because of one man's sin, death into the world. Now we've got the second Adam. The second Adam. The one that Yehovah said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Now I got the Adam that I made from the beginning that looks and does everything that I say like me. If you see him, you've seen me. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And in Romans chapter 5, 19 and 21, verses 19 through 21. There's a lot to read in there, so I just pulled this one scripture. I wanted to read them all, but I'm just going to read these two or three. For as through the disobedience of one man, Ekev, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, many shall be made righteous. And the Torah came in beside so that the trespass would increase. But where sin increased, favor increased still more, so that as sin did reign in death, even so favor might reign through righteousness to everlasting life through Yeshua Messiah our Master. Now we can live again. We can live again. So because of Abraham, he came out from among the dead to the living, all the way to Yeshua. He looked at all those, he studied all those, and he put that on, and now we have the living Torah that we can follow after. The last couple of verses in Hebrews 12. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to have time. But I'm pretty sure y'all read it because Pastor talked about it. Hebrews chapter 12, 9 through 29. It's a lot to read. You can go back and read there if you want to. But it does end on verse 39, said the unshaken matters might remain, because all the characteristics that we put on and live according to the Torah, do like Yeshua did, that's going to remain. It's not going to be shaken. It says we'll remain. So that the unshaken matters might remain. Therefore, receiving an unshakable reign, let us hold the favor through which we serve Elohim pleasingly with reverence and awe, for indeed our Elohim is a consuming fire. The fire is going to consume all the things that's still full of sin and hasn't rejected it. It's going to burn up. But those who stand on the Yeshua Messiah and keep doing in obedience to what he says is going to be shielded and protected from the fire to come. And in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, just reflecting back on what we talked about a little while ago and what they did, just to show it, let look into your eye gates. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. And it came to be when all the sovereigns who were beyond the Jordan in the hills and the low country and all the coasts of the great sea towards Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, and Jebusite, heard, they gathered together to fight with Yehoshua and Israel in one accord. As we live and move on in each day, we're always going to have a battle. Every day you're going to have a battle. There's no relaxing. You're going to have to stay on top of your game every day, or you won't make it. We're going to have to follow and do everything he tells us, or we won't make it. You'll get deceived. Let's look at the slides, slide 12. We're just going to look at a couple of slides, and we're running out of time. Start with slide 12. And because you hear and do these right rulings, Jehovah will guard you with his covenant and his loving commitment. What you do is what he do for you. What you don't do is what he can't do for you. You just got to do what he says. The Hebrew word for Akev, Strong's 86118, as I mentioned, is also rendered as a reward. So because, and you also have a reward, as seen in the following verses. Psalms 19:11 says, also your servant is warned by them, and guarding them, there is great reward. Yeshua is living proof of that great reward. You want life eternal? You want shalom eternal? Do what he's doing. Follow him as our great example. The psalmist is declaring here that he is not only warned by the right rulings of Yehovah, but that he also acknowledges that in guarding them, there is great reward. Therefore, we are able to see the simple truth that because you guard the commands, there is reward, and the reward is that Yehovah guards you with the covenant. There's a promise and a covenant. The word Akev, Strong's 86118, is a marker of a cause or a reason for an event and speaks to us about the benefit that is given to another based on one's merit for proper behavior or trustworthiness. Remember, as we continue to grow and learn and be obedient to his commands, not only is it a relationship between you and him, it also shows a relationship between you and your neighbor, loving your neighbor as yourself. It builds trust in you and your neighbor. We're on the same page. Because remember, in this world, there's a friend circle. We talked about that in Midrash. There's a friend circle. And Yeshua knows his friends. And we know the friend circle, because when we're doing the same things, we're on the same page, you can tell by the fruits that we're bearing. But then when you're on the wrong fruits and not on the same page, you're not showing up, you're not being, you start seeing who's on the same page. You start seeing who's your friends and who's not your friends, who you can trust and who you can't trust. And even in the event of all that going on, Yeshua had Judas come in, and he still held his character correct. Even in front of him, he knew what he was going to do. He still held his character correct. And he told him in the right, correct way, without getting mad, upset, or doing those things. It's for proper behavior, trustworthiness. He can trust you. They can trust you. What I must understand here is that in paying attention, which is to be listening carefully and doing what we are to hear, guard and do, there's a great promise and reward. And then we talked about following the heel, and I'm out of time. So we talked about following your rabbi, following Yeshua, and we talked about Yaakov. Yaakov was the heel grabber, and we learned about that. We ought to be like Yaakov. We ought to be heel grabbers. We ought to be right at the feet of Yeshua, like the dust on his feet. And so we're going to end right there.